This morning we have two New Testament readings, and I want to read the first reading as Luke chapter 16, verses 16 and 17. And then if you find that and with your finger in that place, look back to Matthew chapter 11. Beginning with verse 11. Luke 16, verses 16 and 17. And I'm reading the Luke passage from the King James, and I'm reading the Matthew passage from the NIV. Listen carefully to what God says. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. And Matthew chapter 11, verses 11 through 15. I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. He who has ears, let him hear. This morning we are indeed considering Luke chapter 16 and Matthew 11. I want to point out to you, even before we consider the substance of the text itself in Matthew's Gospel, that Matthew chapter 11 verse 12 translates that verse in a very significant and different way. And that's why I read it in the NIV. The King James translates 12 in this way, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Now I want to read the same verse in the NIV. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. We want to consider this morning pressing into the kingdom of God. The language comes from the parallel passage in Luke chapter 16, verse 16, where the phrase comes that every man presses into it. Pressing into the kingdom of God. The context for our consideration is Jesus has just pronounced the highest note of adulation and praise upon John the Baptist. He said in Matthew 11:11, I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. But then notice what Jesus says in completing the sentence. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, what did Jesus mean? He meant this. John the Baptist was the last in the line of the Old Testament prophets. He was the bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament. But he was still Old Testament. It was Jesus Christ who brought in the kingdom of God. And so John the Baptist was not a part yet of the fullness of God's kingdom. And yet he was the greatest of the prophets. And yet he was not greater than anyone who was in the full kingdom of God. How are we greater than John the Baptist? Did you know that? Why we are greater than John the Baptist with respect to the light that we have. We have greater light than John the Baptist had. John the Baptist was confused. He said, "Is this He? Are you the Christ?" A 6-year-old child in our kindergarten, our 9-year-olds who have gone through the catechism class and just graduated, know more about the kingdom of God than John the Baptist knew. And so, even though he was the greatest of the prophets, a person who knows the least in the kingdom of God was greater than John. Greater also not only with respect to light, but greater with respect to the indwelling of the Spirit of God. Because you and I have the Spirit in a way that John the Baptist never had. Do you know what happened to the disciples before the resurrection? Why they scattered like lost sheep? Do you know what happened to them at Pentecost? They had the Spirit of God poured out upon them. Well, we ought to have every Christian sitting in this sanctuary today, every Christian who names the name of Christ ought to be a man, a woman, a teenager, a child who is greater than John the Baptist. Because there is not a one of us who does not have the light more than even John the Baptist. There is not a one of us who does not have the greater outpouring and indwelling of the Spirit of God than John the Baptist. And I want to ask you, how do you stack up with John the Baptist? Because he was not yet in the fullness of the kingdom of God. How do you measure Christian? That is the context for our verse. We want to consider verse 12. Verse 12 says, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing." What does he mean? There are two thoughts in this little verse. The first thought is that the kingdom of God is coming in new power and new authority. You know, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God was rather passive in the Old Testament. And until the days of John the Baptist, when he began to preach, the kingdom of God began to come in power. The language that is used is one of the axe being laid to the tree, and the tree is about to fall. We sometimes quote that verse that the church will always exist and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The image of the New Testament is not that hell is prevailing against the church, but that the kingdom of God is prevailing against hell. And so it is. And so it is today. From the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven is advancing forcefully and with power. I call your attention to the fact that out of a few group of women who were faithful at the cross and the crucifixion, a few disciples who were left after the resurrection, that the world has begun to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that in the United States and in India today and in Africa today and in Korea today and in other nations of the earth, in Acapulco, in Madras, in Bombay, the gospel is proceeding forcefully and men are surrendering themselves to Christ. That is what the text means. That the kingdom of God is advancing forcefully upon the world. But there's another thought here, and is the thought that we want to consider in particular. And the thought is this: forceful men. Now the King James says violent men. That is simply a bad translation. What it means is forceful men, vigorous men. Vigorous men are laying hold of the kingdom of God. Consider firstly that the kingdom of God is for those who press hard to get into it. The kingdom of God is for those who press hard to get into it. It is not for weaklings. It is not for people who compromise. It is not for waverers. It is not for the rich young ruler who wanted everything his way and all of his possessions controlled by him, and yet who wanted the kingdom of God too. It was not for the rich young ruler. It was not for Pilate, who couldn't make up his mind, and so he ended up washing his hands of the whole matter, and he turned the Son of God over to crucifixion. It was not for Judas Iscariot, who was a man who did not have the courage to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. You see, the kingdom of God is something that must be seized and it must be won. It is not for those who live in deferred prayers, who say, I meant to pray last night and I meant to read my Bible yesterday. It is not for those whose lives are simply one unfulfilled promise and resolution after the other. It is not for broken resolutions. It is not for those whose testimonies are hesitant before the onlooking world, who will give quickly and easily up their testimony in the face of their peers and the pressures of the day. But the kingdom of God is for those who will press hard to get into it. It is for those like Joseph. It is for those like Elijah and Daniel and Mordecai and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's for men like David. It is for men like the Apostle Peter. It is for men like Stephen, who was martyred for his faith in Christ, and it was for men like the Apostle Paul. It is for women too. There are women like Ruth and Deborah and Esther and Lydia in the New Testament. These men and women are men and women who knew the score and knew that if they were to inherit the kingdom of God, then they must press hard to achieve that kingdom. What is the kind of seeking or the kind of pressing that a person must do in order to inherit the kingdom of God? What is meant by the phrase in Luke 16 where it says that every man presses into it? I think the first thing that is meant by the phrase pressing into the kingdom of God is that this phrase denotes a strength of desire. That means to me that the kingdom of heaven, that the kingdom of God will only be for those who have a strength of desire to enter into it. In other words, the kingdom of God will not be forced upon you, nor the kingdom of heaven come upon you in some sleep-filled night, in some moment as you are sitting in church, or in some moment when you need God more than anything else. The kingdom of God will not come upon you unless it is sought, unless you press hard to enter in to that kingdom. Now, this expression indicates a strength of desire. And what this expression means, every man presses into the kingdom, is that every man desires salvation. No matter what race he is, no matter what nationality he is, every man desires salvation. Every man desires what only God can provide. That is, only God can provide happiness and joy and fullness of life and satisfaction in life, a sense of contentment. Only God can provide that. And so it may be said that every man desires salvation. And yet every man does not have it. All men do not find it because they do not have the strength of desire. I know that every one of you here wants to be happy and wants fulfillment, and you want to enjoy the good things in life, and you want to be satisfied, and you want to be content. And yet, we need to hear the Scriptures again, and the Scriptures say that there's only one thing needful, and that is to have the strength of desire to enter into the kingdom of God first. Pressing into the kingdom denotes an earnestness and a firmness of resolution. You see, if there is not a firmness or a determined resolution to go along with the strength of desire, then there is not a pressing hard to enter in. The entire suggestion of pressing into the kingdom indicates that you will enter the kingdom by some difficulty. It denotes a concentration of effort. I know that salvation is by grace through faith. I believe in the sovereignty of election and the eternal predestination of God. But we are reading this text, and this text says that the kingdom of heaven is only for those who will press and press and press to enter into it. You see, many people are concerned about spiritual things. I mean, they talk about spiritual things. They talk about baptism. They talk about the occult and Satanism. They talk about the cults. They talk about different denominations. Perhaps they talk about the doctrine of predestination. Perhaps they talk about and wonder about the Trinity and many mysteries about the kingdom of God and spiritual things. And they talk about the Bible. Is it the Word of God or is it not? And yet they have all of these spiritual concerns to their own detriment, because they are not pressing hard toward the one thing that is needful, and it is not to understand predestination, and it is not to understand all the mysteries in the Bible, but there is one purpose and one goal toward which you and I must press, and it is worth leaving everything else, and that is that we may press hard to enter the kingdom of God. Only those who press hard for eternal salvation will seize it. It is not for those who can sleep their way into the kingdom of God, because it'll never come. It denotes a breaking through with opposition, with difficulties that take place. If there were no opposition to you to enter into God's kingdom, listen, then the use of the phrase pressing hard into the kingdom would not be needed. Because, friend, right now in this hour, you have opposition to enter into God's kingdom. Either you have your own carnal delights and pleasures, you have perhaps a commitment to material things, you have perhaps the opposition of the evil one himself. Perhaps you have something that you can do this afternoon that would alleviate your discomfort, or this week, and you can drown your misery in perhaps a drug or an alcohol or in some other means. You have opposition. Perhaps you simply want to be the Lord and the King of your own life. And you want to control it, and you don't want God to tell you what to do with your money and with your wife or with your children or with your house. But let me tell you something. If you are not pressing hard to enter the kingdom of God, you're going to miss it. Why should the kingdom of God be sought? Well, because it is simply necessary. We are perishing. We were talking in our Sunday school class, in the ladies' class that I was teaching this morning, about the fact that there is a sense in which, as we are born as a result of original sin, after we are born, we actually begin not to live, but we begin the spiral downward toward death. You see, we die because of sin. And if we could eliminate sin, then we could eliminate death. And that is exactly what Jesus Christ did. He lived a perfect life, and then He took all of your sin and my sin upon the cross of Calvary, and He paid the price of your sin, the full justice and the wrath of God, and He cleared the way for you and me so that we would not have to perish either spiritually or physically. That's the necessity of pressing hard into the kingdom, to seize it. Have you seized the kingdom of God? Is there evidence in your life that you are pressing to enter the kingdom of God? Perhaps some of you are seeking the kingdom. But it cannot be said that you are pressing hard. The kingdom of God ought to be sought in this matter because of the shortness and the uncertainty of the opportunity for getting in. Do you know what I hear some people say? I was not converted until I was 19 years old. I lived a life. I was basically a razor and did many things that were wrong. I was rebellious, kicked out of school. I hated people and life and everything else. And I just didn't care. And then I came to Christ. And I have heard people tell me, "Oh, I wish that I had lived a life of sin so that I could have been converted to Christ the way you have." And I wish that I had not lived a life until I was just 19 before I came to Jesus Christ. You see, friends, the time is short and the opportunity is uncertain, and now is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. And if you think If you think that somehow tomorrow will be better than today, let me tell you something. The older you get, the harder it is going to be for you to surrender your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. I read a statistic recently, and it said that the ages of between 18 and 24 are the times when most people are converted. I mean, most adults are converted. You know why? Isn't it obvious? They haven't hardened in their life, in their lifestyle, in their own opinions, and they're still open and pliable enough to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you who are in that age bracket and younger than that age bracket, that your opportunity is before you right now today, and you don't know that another opportunity will ever in your life present itself to you for you to press into the kingdom of God this morning. I say press into the kingdom of God. Why should the kingdom be sought in this manner? I said, firstly, because of its extreme necessity, we're lost. And secondly, because the opportunity is now and it is uncertain. And thirdly, because the difficulty of getting in. And that is indicated by the statistic that I just told you. Why, I had, when I was a youth director, some 24 children who were preschoolers in a youth group that we met every week, and we would have devotions. And do you know that every one of those 24 preschoolers received Christ into their hearts? Because they're so pliable and so open. Alice was telling us, coming back from camp yesterday, that through a relationship with another girl, this other girl received Christ into her heart. The children are so open. And that is true as one matures into life. But let me tell you, it is a difficult, and it gets more difficult for you to enter in. Because the Spirit of God says, I will not always strive with man. And the opportunities that He presents to you and me are finally withdrawn. And no longer do we hear the sweet invitation of the gospel to come in. But it's like water off a duck's back. Let me say to you, older men and women, if you have gotten to the point where the gospel does not affect you as it once did, then you ask God to work in your heart. And you ask God to melt your heart by the cross of Calvary until your love is rekindled, until your devotion burns with Christ's love once again. I'm telling you, younger folk, now is the day of salvation. Young adults, young people, now is the day, because it is possible, and now you may enter into it. Press into the kingdom because of the excellency of the kingdom of God. Jesus told the parable of the pearl of great price. A man who finds such a pearl would sell everything that he had in order to buy this pearl. Well, I want to offer to you this morning, dear listener, if you are a person this morning and you are Christless, if you do not belong to Him, and I suspect you know that you do not, I want to invite you to press into the kingdom of God today.
And if your heart is cold and if it is resistant, then I would ask you, will you seek God and ask Him to melt your heart that you would not miss what the kingdom of God offers to you? There used to be a phrase that was used by the Puritans, and it was called improve the present season. And what they meant by that was seize your present opportunity and improve the present season. I want to invite those of you who may not be Christians this morning, who do not know for sure that you have eternal life, those of you who have no real evidence of pressing into the kingdom of God, I want to invite you to pray with me as I pray a prayer that will enable you to press into God's kingdom. Let us pray.